Thank you, Lois Shelton, and your great Poetry Center for bringing me here. A poet I've always admired, Robert Frost, once gave some advice to anybody fool enough to stand up in public and say, "Hey, look at me, I'm a poet." Frost said, "You want to start by reading something funny so that the people won't think that you take yourself too seriously." But I'm not going to do that tonight. I've never had this problem somehow. My problem is usually the opposite. I have trouble persuading anybody that I'm serious. And I guess some of the confusion in my own head comes from the fact that I really don't know the difference between so-called light verse and serious poetry. I've always liked the kind of poetry in which seriousness and levity are kind of all mixed up together, you know? Poems like Andrew Marvell's "To His Coy Mistress," "Had We But World Enough and Time," that funny poem which is also so moving and touching. And in humor, my touchstone for humor has always been that scene at the start of Charles Chaplin's classic film Limelight, which, if you happen to recall it, shows Charlie Chaplin as a broken-down vaudeville hoofer living in a ratty boarding house in London. And the opening scene shows Claire Bloom playing a young actress who, in despair, because she can't get parts on stage, has decided to end it all. And she's sniffing the gas from the gas jet, trying to take her own life. Chaplin comes home drunk. The camera shows him coming in the front door, and the first thing he does, he sniffs, and he smells the gas from Claire Bloom's suicide attempt, and he looks at his shoe to see if he stepped in something. And that to me is a great moment in movies. You don't know whether to laugh or cry. The fact of Chaplin's looking for dog dirt at the same moment that a life is at stake leaves you in a curious suspense. It is this kind of, I don't know what to call it. Is it humor? Whatever it is, I like it. And I think that is part of my problem. Well, rather than run on about this problem in the abstract, I'd like to read you a few poems, some early, some late. This is an early one that may illustrate what I'm talking about. It's called First Confession. And it is a memory of a Roman Catholic boyhood in Dover, New Jersey, when at the belated age of 12, I made my first Holy Communion and first confession. In those days, confessing your sins to the priest was a matter of squatting in a dark confession booth and telling this terrifying presence all these dirty little secrets that you had saved up all your life. And I knew that in the darkness, sitting there to listen to my dirty little secrets, was Father Mahoney, the most terrifying-looking priest I had ever seen. Now, Father Mahoney had some kind of liver trouble, so that all his hair had fallen out, leaving his bald head all sort of pockmarked and cratered like the surface of the moon. And when you knelt down in the dark in the confession box to spill your sins, you saw Father Mahoney's bald, pocked head leaning down to hear your confession. It was as if the moon or some planet was bending down to listen to you. Oh, it was just an overwhelming thing. Well, all that is in the poem. So here it is. First confession. It's got the kid, me, creeping timidly down the aisle of the church toward the confession box. Blood thudded in my ears. I scuffed, stepped stubborn toward the telltale booth, beyond whose curtained portal coughed the robed repositor of truth. Oh, I should just bust in a moment here and explain that the robed repositor of truth, that this is just a highfalutin way of saying the priest. This is an old poem, very early poem. I think if I were writing it today, I wouldn't say the robed repositor of truth. I would figure out a way to say the priest. But I find, as maybe you poets have found, that when a poem gets past a certain age, it's hard to go back and fix it up without lousing up what little bit of good may still be in it. So anyway, the robe repositor of truth, and he opens the slat of his confession box. The slat shot back, the universe bowed down his cratered dome to hear enumerated my each curse. The sip snitched from my old man's beer, my sloth, pride, envy, lechery, the dime held back from Peter's pence with which I'd bribed my girl to pee, that I might spy her instruments. Now comes the judgment. Hovering scale pans, when I'd done, settle their balance, slow as silt, while in the restless dark I burned, bright as a brimstone in my guilt, until, as one feeds birds, he doled seven Our Fathers and one Hail, which I, to double scrub my soul, intoned twice at the altar rail, where Sunday, in seraphic light, I knelt as full of grace as most, and stuck my tongue out at the priest, a fresh roost for the Holy Ghost. (Clears throat)